How's it going today? Bernie Miklas back with you. Another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you very much for subscribing and for all your support, all your comments, for hitting the like button. I enjoy doing this for you, and it's just a lot of fun. It really is. Anyway, let's get to the point. Let's get to the topic of the day. I wanted to revisit the Tommy Edman trade, which, but not in the way you may be anticipating. I'm not here to change my opinion and, you know, kind of go back and revise history and for me to say, well, they never should have made that trade. I didn't say that at the time. Nope. Very few people said it. Some people did. I'm sure some of you did. But I remember that trade. It was three-way deal involving the White Sox and the Dodgers and the Cardinals. The Cardinals got starting pitcher Eric Fetty in it. And that was the big part of the deal and the big motivation for the Cardinals. Tommy Edman had missed all of last season up until the trade deadline and really didn't play for the Dodgers until the final 6 weeks. So the Cardinals, Tommy Edman was going to be entering his final year of arbitration. And then he could become a free agent. They were not going to sign him to a contract. I'm not here to debate whether that was a smart decision or a dumb decision. I'm not here to debate whether they should have just kept him for one more year, then let him go to free agency. I'm not here to debate that because we now know what the Cardinals have told us, which is 2025 is going to be a different kind of year. They're going to play the young players. So any evaluation of the Edman trade that ignores that, the fact that that was their plan. It's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it was one of the reasons they decided that they could trade Tommy Edman. And if you don't acknowledge that, then you're not really giving the evaluation of the trade. You're not really, really being totally upfront or totally fair. Maybe not even honest about it, because that was the big reason they made this trade. They wanted to get Eric Fetty. Because they thought Eric Fetty, and at the time, the Cardinals were, at the time of the deal, they were 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. So once again, no, you can't go back now and say, well, geez, they look at how far out they finished. They weren't far out when they made the trade. So you have to understand the motivation for the trade, not only in moving Tommy Edman being willing to do that, and they had good reasons. The other thing, of course, getting Eric Fetty for the stretch drive, primarily Eric Fetty. I know Tommy Pham came along as well and all that stuff. That was inconsequential. Cardinals fell apart, but it wasn't because of this trade. Tommy Edman, good for him. Happy for him. You know, he got a five. He was great for the Dodgers and just caught fire when he finally got back from that wrist surgery and the rehab. And boy, was he outstanding in the postseason. And the Dodgers rewarded him with a five-year, $74 million contract that averages just under $15 million a year. Why not? The Dodgers can spend whatever the heck they want to spend. The Dodgers love Tommy Edman just as many people here. Most Cardinals fans, if not all Cardinals fans, really had a strong liking or love of Tommy Edman. And why not? Because he's an incredible competitor, can play all these different positions. Dodgers going to use him in center field, shortstop, second base, all over the place. And I'm happy for Tommy Edman. The switch hitter cashed in 5 years, $74 million. But for those of you who are inclined to maybe reverse your opinion in retrospect, which you can do whatever the heck you want to do, as we like to say, it's free country. Those of you who at the time said, oh, yeah, this makes sense. This trade made sense. Now you're trying to act like you never said it. Whatever. Hey, again, do what you want, man. Let it all loose. It's fine. I'm here to talk about it through another lens, which is Eric Fetty and what is going to become of Eric Fetty. Now, when they made the trade for Fetty, as I mentioned, they were 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. So there was every motivation, every reason to try to make a run for it, even if they weren't all that great of a team. You want to see them be proactive about making a trade at the deadline to help them in the present time, but also a guy like Fetty who had a year left on his contract, which will be 2025. So it was kind of a win-win for the Cardinals. They were not going to continue down the road with Tommy Edman. They weren't going to extend his contract the way the Dodgers have. And the Cardinals now know, or that we now know what the Cardinals were thinking as part of this plan. They were going to use 2025 if things didn't work out. If things didn't work out, one of the things in the back of their mind is like, well, we're probably going to get, we're going to get younger. We're going to be getting younger. And that was another reason for their thinking process, their thought process in trading Tommy Edman. But all right, I want to stop rambling here. Let's get to the point of what I really want to talk about. If the Cardinals, if you think they lost the trade, fine. If you say, well, there's no way they can win that trade, look at what Edman did. He helped them win a World Series. The Dodgers rewarded him. Then now the Cardinals screwed up again. Okay, fine. The Cardinals can win the trade. They're, by the way, win the trade, I use that term loosely. But the way they do it is that they take Eric Fetty and they trade him. If you want to cash in on the fact that you were willing to trade Tommy Edman, who was not in your future plans, not going to give him a contract, all that good stuff, getting younger, yada, yada, yada. But if you want to cash in, truly cash in on this trade, and given the fact that 2025 is a play the kids year, you should trade Eric Fetty. I keep looking for reasons to push back on my own comment, say, well, hey, Lunkhead Bernie, are you sure about that? What are you missing? I'm not missing anything. He's got 1 year left. He's going to be, I don't think the Cardinals will lock him into a long-term contract and pay him a lot of money. And as a free agent, he would command a rather handsome contract. He would cash in, man, provided that he stays healthy. He would cash in, and I'll get to that in a minute. I look around so far what has happened in Major League Baseball this offseason, and we're not talking about the Blake Snell's signing with the Dodgers. We're talking about a certain pay category, classification, maybe talking about mid-range salaries, talking about the guys making, you know, $12 million, $14 million, $15 million a year, stuff like that. Not the high end, but somewhere down from that, but still respectable. And teams are always desperate for starting pitching. So if you look around at who has signed so far at the time that I record this, who knows, by the time you see it, there may have been another free agent starting pitcher signing somewhere, or there might have been a trade. But as I record this, the guys that have signed deals so far, the Angels signed the left-hander Kikuchi, from, you know, the Japanese left-hander, 3 years, $54 million. That's an average of $18 million a year. He had a good year. And, you know, it's a reasonable contract to each his or her own. I mean, I don't care what the Angels did, but I'm using this as a point of reference. Frankie Montas signed a two-year, $34 million deal with the Mets, $17 million a year. Okay, nothing outrageous about that. It's still a good piece of money. And then the Cubs jumped in on left-hander Matthew Boyd, who's had all kinds of injury problems, but got healthy last season. Not the whole season, but as the season went on, he stepped into the rotation. Where was he? In Cleveland, I think? Yeah, okay. That has no bearing on what I'm trying to talk about right now. Anyway. Boyd signed a two-year, $29 million deal with the Cubs, $14.5 million a year. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm taking a look around at that. Oh, let me throw this in too, if I could. You know, keeping track of the speculation and the rumors of the day and all that stuff. Another thing teams are doing is that they're looking at free agent relievers. And they're giving thought to signing them as a starting pitcher, much the way the San Francisco Giants did with Jordan Hicks this time a year ago, or soon thereafter. Moved him for the bullpen, but they signed him all along to be a starter. And it went good for a little while, and then he eventually went back to the bullpen. But the Yankees closer, up until late in the year, Clay Holmes, teams are, according to many reports, Jeff Passan, many reports, I think Ken Rosenthal. Teams are kicking the tires, talking to his agent about, well, we think we'd like to give him a chance to be a starter. And he's basically never really been a starter. I mean, a little bit here and there. And then a Philadelphia reliever, Jeff Hoffman, same deal. Teams are calling his agent and saying, well, we know he's been a reliever, but we're thinking about him as a starter. Would that appeal to him? So you got Montas, you know, you get Kikuchi's getting 3 years. You got Montas getting 2. You got Boyd getting 2. And the thing of it is, Eric Fetty is better than those three guys. And he's better than those three guys in a lot of areas. My point, which I will fill in the blanks on this point and fill in my opinion with facts, is that the Cardinals have a guy. The Cardinals are not going all in to win in 2025. The season is not going to be about that. We know that. It's about building for the future. Well, if you're going to build for the future, doesn't it make sense if you're not going to re-sign Fetty, okay? Doesn't it make all the sense in the world to flip him? Given the great demand, the hunger for starting pitching on the free agent market, and you're going to see it in trades, he is a valuable commodity. He is a valuable asset. He is a valuable piece to put into the trade market and say, hey, we're listening on Fetty if you have any interest. And I'm sure the Cardinals have been getting a lot of communication about that. Teams are desperate for starting pitching, aren't they always? So before I get into backing up what I was talking about, like all these pitchers who have signed so far, not Blake Snell, mid-tier pitchers, or maybe a little bit above that, he was better than those guys in 2024. And you might say, well, he really wasn't much of a pitcher before that. He had to go to Asia, Korea or wherever he went. Sorry. And he came back as a different pitcher. And that's true because he changed his pitch arsenal and he had great success in doing that. And the White Sox signed him to a 2-year deal, which was a bargain deal. And it's still a bargain deal. Eric Fetty will be paid $7.5 million in 2025 before he becomes a free agent. That's his salary. That's half of what the Cubs are going to be paying Matthew Boyd in 2025. And I'm rounding these off. That's less. If you look at it, Kikuchi's making $18 million next year. Fetty will be making, once again, $7.5 million. Montas will be making $17 million next year. Fetty, $7.5 million. Boyd, $14.5 million. Fetty, $7.5 million, right? So he's 31 years old and he's coming off a career best year and he is a different pitcher. When he came back, as I mentioned, with a whole new pitch arsenal and he was very, very good. So if you got teams rushing out there in the market to lock in guys on multiple year deals like Montas and Kikuchi and Boyd, and there's more coming. If teams are like, they're so worried about the pitching supply, they would, oh, we better not fool around. Let's go get our guys. What do you think the Cardinals could get for Eric Fetty? What do you think? His value, it would be very, very high. Now, I was talking about this with some of my acquaintances, whatever, and, you know, and the points brought up. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, they ought to hold on to him, and then they could flip him at the deadline, you know, at the end of July, and they may get more for him then. I'm always intrigued by that theory or that desire because what happens to pitchers a lot? What happens to them? Injuries. And even though Fetty's not one of these 98-mile-an-hour guys, pitching breakdowns are frequent in this game. So this idea of like, well, you hold him and then at the deadline, people will be, you know, really coming at you if he's having a good year and if he's healthy. And that's a, if that's the point, if. Well, suppose that the good pitching that he provided with two teams last year, the White Sox and the Cardinals, suppose his performance deteriorates for whatever reason. Suppose he's not healthy. Suppose he's they have to shut him down. There's elbow trouble, whatever it might be, right? Well, then you've lost your opportunity to cash in on him. And again, there will be a demand for him on the trade market, given how these teams are so anxious to go get a starting pitcher. So anxious that they're calling agents of relief pitchers and saying, well, how about your guy starting? You think he'll go for that? We like him as a starter. What do you think? What do you say? There will be a really robust market for Eric Fetty, given the year he had and the fact that you only got to pay him $7.5 million. And it's not a long-term liability. Now, some teams may say, well, I wish it was a two-year deal. Well, it's not. But $7.5 million is a drop in the bucket for like everybody these days. And you say, well, if you're saying, and it's okay, because when Fetty came along from Chicago, it took him a while to settle in. I mean, his first, and I'm not going to like review his season in terms of just the Cardinals. Once he kind of settled down, he actually pitched very, very well. His first couple starts were maybe two or three starts. So why am I saying, other than the fact that he's available, or that if he's not available, then John Mozeliak in the front office, they're failing to do their job in a way that will fit their scheme, which is we want to get younger. We want to build up our supply of young players and pitchers. It's not all about like signing older guys. It's not all about worrying about, we better go sign this old guy and this old pitcher. It's not about stopgap measures. It's about opportunities for younger pitchers. And if it means that you're going to flip some of the older guys you have, in theory, you can get some prospects, maybe depending on who we're talking about. You get some prospects. You might get a young major league player in return. In other words, this fits into your plan to set yourself up for a future, a better future with more young talent as you sort of write off the 2025 season. Fetty fits that formula, that plan. He fits it almost to perfection. And you say, what do you mean almost? Well, he's not Nolan Ryan. Okay, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. He's not Blake Snell. He's not Corbin Burns. He's not, I can name a bunch of people. I mean, but he's a really good starting pitcher in a market that is desperate for starting pitchers, and you don't have to pay him much, and you can have him all season. Because you say, well, the deadline this, the deadline that. A guy's value is going to be highest when he's coming off his best major league season, and you will, if you make a trade for him, you will have him for the entire season. If the Cardinals wait and don't take advantage of this, then he could break down, he could pitch poorly, and then at the deadline, you're left holding the bag. Your opportunity to cash in, gone. Bye-bye, gone. It didn't work out. I wouldn't fool around with this. If this is about going with youth and getting younger and adding more young talent, Eric Fetty is very much expendable. Unless you as the Cardinals, you are planning to sign him to a big deal. And they're not. They're absolutely not. And listen, before you say, well, they should, okay, you can say that, okay, right? But they're not. That's the point. What they should do and what they're actually going to do, two different things, two different universes. So if you're wondering whether I'm overrating or overvaluing the season that Eric Fetty had between the White Sox and the Cardinals, may I fill you in on some things? Thank you very much. Eric Fetty last year had 3.4 wins above replacement. That ranks 17th among all major league pitchers, starting pitchers. 3.5 WAR, just about. That's good. Well, like I said, that's top 20 among all starting pitchers. In fact, Eric Fetty's wins above replacement was the same as Max Fried, who's going to make a financial killing as a free agent this offseason. And Fetty made two or three more starts than Fried. Some people said, well, you know, Fried missed a little time. Well, yeah, that's the point. He's had some injuries, not catastrophic things, but the point is Fetty will take the ball and he's going to give you a lot of innings. So anyway, Fetty had as much WAR value last year as Max Fried, one of the top free agents on the market. It was about the same as Kikuchi in his WAR. Fetty higher than Aaron Nola, Michael Wacha, Jack Flaherty, Tanner Bibee, Pablo Lopez, Shota Imanaga, Kevin Gausman, Bryce Miller, Nathan Eovaldi, Luis Castillo, Freddy Peralta, Carlos Rodon, and more. He was more valuable as a starting pitcher than all those guys I mentioned, if you're basing on WAR, and many others. I'm just picking out some name players that you recognize. All right, let's talk about his earned run average last year for two teams. Eric Fetty, 17th among all major league starting pitchers, qualifying starting pitchers. Had a 3.30 ERA, better than Dylan Cease, better than Logan Webb, better than Aaron Nola and George Kirby and Freddy Peralta and Carlos Rodon and Pablo Lopez and Kikuchi and Bibee and on and on and on. Better than, well, again, there was only 16 major league starting pitchers who qualified in terms of innings. Only 16 guys had a better ERA than he did last year among starting pitchers. So there's a lot of pretty big names that were behind Fetty in the ERA list, right? Okay, what about innings? 177. That was 28th. So that puts him in the top 30 of innings. That's as many innings as Chris Sale pitched, who was the National League Cy Young Award winner for the Braves. Fetty pitched more innings than Kikuchi, Max Fried, Peralta, Bibee, Imanaga, Rodon, Jose Quintana, Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, Miles Michaelis, Jameson Taillon, Framber Valdez, and on and on and on and on and on. What about his fielding independent ERA, which is often a truer indicator of pitching quality? Well, he was about 32nd, but that's still really good. Think about the number of starting pitchers there are in baseball. You're in the top 30, 35. You're still one of the better starting pitchers out there. His fielding independent ERA, 3.86, better than Luis Castillo, Nola, Peralta, Rodon, Chris Bassett, Brady Singer, Renan Blanco, the young Houston pitcher, and many, 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 many more. So why all of a sudden did he become Eric Fetty? Why did he become a really good starting pitcher when he was a nondescript guy that had no identity and had to go overseas to kind of find himself? Well, he developed the sweeper pitch, which is the new thing, and he's got a really, really outstanding one. And he reshaped his cutter. He made some changes on his sinker. And Eric Fetty in 2024 was in the top 12% of all major league pitchers, the top 12% in terms of pitching run value. That's all of his pitches, the quality of his pitches, his pitch arsenal. You add it all up. And he was in the top 12% of all major league starters in 2024. Pitching run value, it's called. It's a StatCast thing. He was in the top 13% of all major league starting pitchers, fastball value. He was in the top 11% breaking ball value. If you look at individual pitchers, his cutter was the 11th best cutter among all pitchers, including relievers. 11th best cutter in the game. His sinker was around 50th, 54th to be exact. And his sweeper was the seventh best sweeper among all pitchers, starters, and relievers in the majors last year. And the sinker was 54. You say, well, what's so great about that? Go on FanGraphs or whatever and count up the number of starting pitchers there are in Major League Baseball. You're basically right around the top 50. That's good. His cutter was a plus 7 pitch in terms of run value. The sinker was a plus 4 and the sweeper was plus 7. So he was well in the plus category with 3 pitches. There's not too many guys that have that kind of pitch arsenal where the pitches that he throws a lot are well above average. His four-seam fastball was about average. But when you have 3-plus pitches like this, you don't have to worry about the fastball too much. Now, he's not a big strikeout guy, Eric Fetty. We know that. He also doesn't walk many. He also has a good ground ball rate. He does miss bats because that sweeper is nasty. But the guy, his value with all these numbers I gave you and where he ranked last year among all qualifying major league starting pitchers, and you can get him for the full year and he's only going to make $7.5 million. All these teams rushing out to sign anybody they can, right? You don't think, I would hope Heim Bloom would help out here with some evaluation. You don't think the front office of the Cardinals could cash him in for a nice return? I mean, it seems obvious to me, right? And if he's not going to be part of your future, and if 2025 is kind of a young player, young pitcher deal, well, why would you hesitate? He's not going to be a part of your future because you're not going to sign Fetty to a long-term deal. The other thing about the other positive, if you will, about trading Fetty is it opens up a spot in the rotation for a younger pitcher. Ain't that what 2025 is supposed to be all about? Well, the Cardinals are probably stuck with Miles Michaelis. So that's one spot spoken for. They're going to try to trade Steven Matz. Maybe they can. He's only got 1 year left. $12.5 million salary. I'm sure the Cardinals could give him away, or, you know, they're not going to get a big return for him. But it's not inconceivable that or impossible he wouldn't be traded. But if you trade Fetty, because right now you would have Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, Matz. You got McGreevy on the outside looking in. You got Graceffo on the outside looking in. I don't know what the hell Zach Thompson's up to or where he stands. I really don't know. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to screw around and try to make Libitor a starter again. But you got Quinn Matthews, very, very here, top pitching prospect. You got him very close to the majors. He'll be up here at some point in 2025. And Tink Hentz won't be that much longer. He'll be coming along a little later, not as fast as Matthews, but he won't be that far behind as far as graduating. And they've got some other, like the former first-round draft pick, you know, Cooper Yerpe has made some progress. He'll be on a good track. He could get to the majors relatively soon. Tecole Roby, if he can stay healthy. He may be a big part of your bullpen, but for now, he's a starting pitcher. They got him in the Jordan Montgomery trade from Texas. Sam Robersay, who was really good for a while last year, kind of leveled off. Then he had an injury, not a catastrophic injury. And listen, I could name a bunch more names, but the thing of it is, if you want to look at young starting pitchers in 2025, you got to open some spots for them, right? So if you trade Fetty, it's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win because you probably get a very good return, maybe even a great return for him. And if you look at this as an extension of the Tommy Edman trade, well, then that trade looks a heck of a lot better. if you cash in and you get a good package of young talent on the way back from a team that acquires Eric Fetty from you, well, all of a sudden the decision, if anybody is questioning it, honestly, still, all of a sudden that transaction looks a lot better, doesn't it, in terms of what the Cardinals got in return. But if you keep them and you don't trade them, or you keep them thinking, oh, we'll trade them at the deadline, which is like, there's so many people that want to do that. And again, I don't get it. Because if he gets hurt, you're done. You can't cash in on him. It just seems like the proverbial no-brainer to me. You want to win the Tommy Edman trade in terms of what you got in return, not what the Dodgers got, because that guy is now part of their core nucleus. But in terms of like, well, what did the Cardinals get out of trading Tommy Edman? Well, to be determined, because if the Cardinals are smart, they're going to flip Eric Fetty, and they're going to flip him. You know, some free agent starting pitchers are going to come off the board, and then teams are really going to get desperate. And the teams that missed out on Burns or missed out on whomever, Freed, whomever, all of a sudden it's going to be, Mo, we'd like to talk to you about Eric Fetty. I think they can really, really play their cards, no pun intended. They can really play their cards very well if they're capable of it to maximize the return. Once the real desperation sits in, like the early panic stages, we're still in that. And that's why you see these teams signing guys that I talked about. You hold on to Fetty for a little while, man, you're going to get some people sweating because it's like, well, we got to go get a starter. Pretty attractive candidate, unless you think there's something wrong with the guys in the top 20 and wins above replacement and ERA last season and had better seasons. A lot of big-name pitchers that are making a ton of money. Mo, Jamozelak, go win the Tommy Edman trade. It's not too late. You can still win it big. Please, please. Be smart. Please. Cardinal Nation begs you. That'll do it for today. Thanks for watching. This has been the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube.